It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Over the weekend at the United Nations General Assembly, Foreign Minister Winston Peters announced that New Zealand would not formally recognise a Palestinian state. This follows weeks of the government not explicitly laying out what their plans were regarding recognising Palestine, unlike countries such as France, the UK, Canada and Australia, who all announced they would be recognising a Palestinian state. The government's decision to not recognise a Palestinian state has received criticism from the opposition parties, international relations experts and pro-Palestinian advocates. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about the country's decision not to recognise a Palestinian state. We also discussed the government overhauling the Holidays Act. The changes include a shift to hours-based accrual system for annual leave and a 12.5% leave compensation payment for casual employees as opposed to accruing leave. I also spoke to Simon about this topic, specifically about its impact on casual and part-time employees. But first, we discussed the government's decision not to recognise Palestine. Before Peter's announcement, the minister took two options to cabinet. One would have recognised a Palestinian state with certain conditions, or continue the country's when, not if approach. Why have we gone with the second option here?
Well, at present, there's no legitimate unified Palestinian government that has control over its territory or population. It's just not clear that recognising statehood now would move the parties closer to peace. And in fact, what Winston Peters, our foreign minister, was very clear on is that premature recognition of a Palestinian state at this time would in fact embolden Hamas, which attacked Israel on October 7, 2023, killed over 1,000 people, still holds, you know, maybe 50 people hostage, of which 20 are still alive. And that to recognise a Palestinian state at this time would essentially embolden them, and they regard it as a win. And of course they would, because after the Australian Prime Minister gave his speech saying that they'd recognise a Palestinian state, Hamas basically sent him a bouquet and put out a press release and a statement saying, thank you, the struggle was and the sacrifice was worth it. That is not the kind of reward that New Zealand wants for recognising a Palestinian state. It's not the kind of reward that the Palestinian people deserve, more Hamas taking the credit for this stuff.
A RNZ Reid poll from early this month shows that 42.5% of New Zealanders were for recognising the state of Palestine, as opposed to 22.1%. 35.4% were unsure. Despite being quite divisive in this poll, more are in favour of recognising Palestine as a state. Does this move by the government not go against the best interests of New Zealanders?
Well, I think New Zealanders are rightly troubled by the suffering of civilians in Gaza, and it's right that New Zealand calls for a ceasefire and humanitarian access so that aid can get to civilians and for the release of the hostages that Hamas hold. I think some New Zealanders might think that recognising a Palestinian state is somehow going to solve those problems, which were caused by Hamas attacking Israel on October 7. And so I understand the sentiment. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, and that's what our Foreign Minister Winston Peters has been doing in New York last week, is meeting with regional leaders, meeting with the leaders of Qatar and Jordan and other nations to find out what they think, what's really going on. You know, it turns out that actually recognising a Palestinian state at this time is not going to get aid to people who need it. It's not going to get the hostages released. It's not going to disarm Hamas. In fact, it's likely to have the opposite effect, because Hamas will simply be emboldened by believing that their actions are able to divide the West. You know, most NATO countries have not recognised Palestine. You know, so I think it's important that New Zealand has independently drawn the conclusion that if we're going to recognise a Palestinian state, we want that to be impactful, and we want it to be recognising a state that actually can succeed.
ACT Party leader David Seymour said following Peter's speech that he is proud of this government for showing independence in foreign policy. However, a lot of people speculate that this is us just cozying up to the US. We've recently seen a standalone FBI office open up on our shores, and we are currently facing 15% tariffs. What do you say to these claims?
Well, it sounds like a conspiracy theory by these people when, you know, if you look at the more likely conclusion, that is that our foreign minister, who has decades of experience as having been a foreign minister under multiple New Zealand governments, You took advice, considered all of the evidence, went to New York after having made some draft recommendations to Cabinet, interviewed and met with more people, took more advice, and drew a conclusion that I think is backed by evidence and also closely aligned with New Zealand's interests. Recognising a state that doesn't have borders, doesn't have a functioning government, where half the territory is controlled by, remember, an elected Hamas terrorist organisation. They won an election in 2006 or 7, and there's never been one since. Who knew? You know, you elect militant Islamist, fighters to run your country. You don't think they're going to let you have another election, do they? So, look, now is definitely not the right time to recognise a Palestinian state. You know, we don't need to tune into TV news in the US or, ask the FBI what to do. The evidence is there.
Labour Foreign Affairs spokesperson Penny Hinade says Luxon had a chance to stand up for what is right, but he failed. There is no two-state solution or enduring peace in the Middle East without recognition of Palestine as a state. And that we've watched an unfolding genocide on our screens for nearly 2 years. This government is failing to take any of the action required to help stop the atrocities and suffering of hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in Gaza. Is this government doing enough to support Palestinians here, especially as the death toll in Gaza reaches over 66,000?
Well, certainly New Zealand is doing what it can and should, which is to donate aid and make it very clear what New Zealand's expectations are about the conduct of military operations by the Israeli forces, that they must protect civilians, they must get people out of harm's way while they engage with enemy combatants, with Hamas, who are holding hostages and bunkers and terror tunnels under Gaza. So, of course, New Zealand has done what it should and can, but New Zealand can't wave a magic wand and free the people of Palestine from Hamas. You can't wave a magic wand and bring peace to the Middle East. That's farcical. And what the New Zealand government is doing by saying we're setting that to one side, the policy is when, not if, a Palestinian state should be created. But let's get back and focus on what New Zealanders need us to do. We have hospitals that need upgrades, and we have people who need operations. We have schools and that are desperately needed in fast-growing areas in places like Auckland, where I live. This government has enough on its plate without, pretending it can solve Middle East peace. We'll leave that to people in opposition to pretend they can solve it. This government has a whole lot of other things that we need to fix, because that's why Kiwis voted for us.
Do you believe the country's lack of recognition here will affect the coalition's chance of a re-election in next year's general elections?
I think New Zealanders will understand that our foreign minister and our cabinet have made a decision based on evidence, and they will expect this government to get on with fixing what matters, which is making sure that the infrastructure that we need to deliver, new highways, wastewater, drinking water for our cities, finishing the city rail link, and then if you live in Auckland, you'll know that all of those level crossings that approach the city need to be replaced, so we can actually get the trains to run on time and you don't have people stuck in traffic for hours. All of these are real problems that need fixing, and New Zealanders are asking this government to focus on fixing what matters. That's what's going to count in the next election.
On to our next topic. The government is moving forward to replace the country's leave legislation with the new Employment Act. Why are we seeing this replacement?
Well, because for years the Holidays Act has been so complex, it's hard for employers to follow, and incredibly confusing for workers to understand as well. It's led to billions of dollars in payroll errors and back payments being held up for years because the legislation was so complicated to work out and comply with. And that's why this government is doing something that people have asked for decades, which is to replace the old Holidays Act with an Employment Leave Act. It's going to be really, really simple. People are going to earn leave for every hour they work, rather than have it accrued on a weekly basis. Sick leave will be accrued in hours, so you can take exactly what you've earned. And parents returning from parental leave won't have to wait for a full year after they return to have accrued enough leave to take time off. The system as it currently works, it's got so many bizarre anomalies. this is going to transform the way employers and employees deal with leave, holidays and sick leave. You know, and if you're a casual, as I know so many people who be listening to 95BFM would be, you know, working while they study, they're going to earn a 12.5% on top of their hourly rate as a holiday and sick leave contribution. They won't need to worry about, am I eligible for sick leave? They'll get it paid for every hour they work.
You kind of touched on a little bit of my last question here, but many part-time and casual workers are concerned about their changes in holiday and sick leave. How should these workers be guaranteed that this new system will provide them more support compared to the current system?
Well, casual workers currently get 8% extra in recognition of holiday pay, and the new Employment Leave Act is going to bump that up to 12.5%. So that additional 4.5% will cover sick leave and give them a bit more buffer because, you know, there is some uncertainty around casual work. But you compare it to what we have now. Apparently now casual workers technically get 10 sick days a year, but most can't actually use them because of how the rules work. So instead of having sick leave apparently they're eligible for that they can't access because of technical reasons, they're actually going to get paid for it up front. Now, one clear set of rules means workers know what they're owed, and employers can finally get it right without having to seek expensive employment law advice just to resolve basic payroll issues. Like, this is literally fixing what matters. This is what the coalition government was elected to do.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on the government not recognising Palestine at the UN and the overhaul of the Holidays Act.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.